Let's just spend a moment in prayer. Our Father, we bow before you, and we ask now that as we come to your word, that we will indeed hear your voice. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Very glad to be with you once more. And on the last three occasions that I've had the opportunity to speak on a Sunday, we've been considering together what God has to say in Psalm 23. And I would like just to conclude that this morning by looking at one or two or the two verses that we haven't really considered before. So let us now turn to God's word and let's read it together. And this is Psalm 23, New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's an amazing psalm, really. There is so much to learn from it. The first point that I think I would just like to remind you of, that there is at the very gate of the psalm a qualifying experience. In a sense, this psalm is addressed to everyone who reads it, of course, but it's also true to say that it is only understood, its message, its the truth of it, the experience of it, is only accessible to some. And there will be people who sing this psalm and hear this psalm, and it goes in one ear and out the other. Doesn't really register. So what is this qualifying experience that opens the psalm up to me? Well, it's simply this. The Lord is my shepherd. And if that's a reality in our lives, then this psalm will mean something. If that is not a reality in my life, then this psalm possibly won't mean very much to me at all. Except I think I would have to accept that it's magnificent poetry. Psalm 23 as a whole is about a journey, about a lifelong journey that begins when we first take the step to make Jesus our Lord and our Shepherd. And the psalm then profiles that journey. And step by step, it really accords and chimes with our experience. It's a journey in fellowship with Jesus. It really is just about following him. That's what shepherds do. They lead and the sheep follow. So this psalm is about following him into an ever-growing knowledge and experience of the presence of God. That's what this psalm's about. Actually, that's what life is about. And this, we're told the secret of progress on this journey. The beginning we know. It requires faith in the Lord Jesus. Repentance of heart and faith in him. And we begin the journey. And the secret of the progress on the journey is given to us in verses 2 and 3. We spoke about this before. Having started the journey, we discover how to make progress by being quiet in his presence. That's absolutely key. Progress comes as I begin to learn how to stop the noise that goes on in my head, stop all the feed that I get from television and social media and whatever else, stop that, and clear a space and be quiet with him and rest in him and sense his presence and hear his word and be fed by him in the green pastures that he will supply. And then find that that's where my soul is restored, and that's where I gain the strength for this journey that I've set out upon with this shepherd. So important. I'll just remind you of Isaiah 40. Those who wait expectantly in the Lord. Those who wait expectantly in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. They will make progress. They will either soar or run or walk, and he can make all of that possible if we live our lives in his presence. That's the first step. Then there are key features to learn about this journey. Last Sunday we spoke about two of those. In verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what's wrong with the world? Unrighteousness. That's what's wrong with the world. And the politicians and the social workers and all of the folks who no doubt mean well and work hard, our world will never be changed until the people in it are changed. And the message of the Bible is very clear and very simple. There is a cancer, a canker at the heart of human nature that doesn't want God, my life, my rules. They don't want God. And we reap the consequences that we are utterly unable to love one another as we should. And that's the problem that is addressed. And what this psalm is saying in verse 3 is that if you rest in the shepherd and you follow the shepherd, he will lead you in paths of righteousness. You'll become more and more what God meant a man or a woman to be. I will progress on that journey. And you know, I become right with God, I gain righteousness with God through the cross of Christ. There is no other way. And the wonder of the cross is this, that when I come in faith, God can look at me and see him. And because he is utterly sinless, God can clothe me with his righteousness. That's what happens when we make the Lord our shepherd. And God sees me as being righteous because I'm in Christ. That's the meaning of the cross. I receive righteousness with God because of the cross. And I continue in righteousness and learn about righteousness through his word, in obedience, as I learn to walk with him. And little by little, step by step, experience by experience, correction by correction, his spirit works within me to change me. Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice." We won't get anywhere if we don't hear his voice. "And I know them." I know what they need. And what do? They follow me. That's the challenge. We must understand that as I follow him, he will change me. In fact, we could say that if I'm not being changed by him, it is simply because you're not being led by him. We must understand that. that if we claim to be following him, he will change us day by day. And sometimes the path he chooses for me, for you, is difficult. We thought about that last week, and there are folks in here who know that that's a real experience. In fact, I suspect we possibly all do. And if we haven't had the experience yet, wait and see. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. And why would that be? It's because you are with me. He's calling us to be with him, to follow me. Keep up with me. But I'll be with you. And that's what matters in the valley. The path may go through the valley of the shadow of death, but he's telling me that he is with me in the valley. And he will not desert me in the valley. If he leads me into the valley, he will be with me in the valley. And if he leads me into the valley, he will lead me through the valley. And the fear has gone because he is with me. Because he restores my soul in the valley. And because the valley is not my home. My home is with him. Right here and now. And my home will be with him forever. That's verse 6. This psalm really gets to the root of the matter. We learn more about that journey today. In verse 4 we read this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Notice that all the initiative lies with him. You see that? Your rod, your staff, they comfort me, you prepare, you anoint me. All the initiative lies with him. All the strength and the power lies with him. And all the benefit lies with me. You comfort me. You prepare a table for me. You anoint me. The benefits are mine. And the blessings come from him. And you know, the rod and the staff are not the same. It's not just saying the same thing twice. The rod is a weapon. It's a club. It's a cudgel. And the shepherd carried it as a weapon. Not to use on the sheep, but to use in order to protect the sheep. And this is what God's saying to us. Don't you realize the power that I carry? I have the wherewithal to utterly change your circumstances. And if you're going to be threatened, knowing what I know about you and your circumstances, it may be necessary for me, and if it is, I will wield the cudgel. And I will remove the obstacle that is in your way. I believe every Christian has had that experience, you know. I know I have. There are things in life you say, I don't really see how this can work. I don't see how I can get through here, you know. The obstacles are too great. And then usually completely right out of left field, as the Americans would say, not in the way that I was thinking, suddenly the problem's gone. And God simply steps into the circumstances and rearranges them, beats them down, and the path is clear. That can happen. Your cudgel comforts me, protects me, strengthens me. And the staff is the crook. Now the crook is used on the sheep. If the cudgel is used to clear the way for the sheep and clear the obstacles for the sheep, the crook is used to guide the sheep. I've seen them on television where shepherds who know what they're doing, they can just go like this with their crook. You know, they turn it so that the crook's at the bottom, and they can just hook a lamb like that without thinking about it and carry it. Or they could reach forward, and if this sheep is beginning to wander off the path and get into dangerous territory, they can just pull it back on the path. That's what this is about. This is the corrective function of the Holy Spirit, who tells you as soon as you begin to say something, you shouldn't be saying it. You've stepped off the path. Who says to you as soon as you think something, you shouldn't be thinking it. And if you give it somewhere to rest within you, and you actually start to behave in a way that is contrary to the shepherd, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Have you never had that experience? In a situation where things are happening, perhaps you're among a lot of people who don't know anything about God or Christ or discipleship at all, and the conversation begins to go in this way, and somehow it's as if somebody's turned the light down, or the temperature's fallen, and really the Spirit is saying to you, no, this won't do. This won't do. You don't belong here. This is not the path for you. These are realities in the Christian's life. The protective power of the shepherd and the guiding of his wisdom. And you'll notice that not the cudgel and not the crook are of any use at all unless the shepherd uses them. They comfort me. They strengthen me. You know that God provides a total protection and guidance system for us as we walk with him. So there's no fear, because you are with me. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And this verse, the table and the meal are not the same either. It's not just a case of two words for the same idea. A meal is a one-off thing. And it would sustain you for a few hours. The table is a different thing. The table is where the meals take place. The table has a continuous nature that the meal doesn't have. We return to the table again and again. The table is where the sustenance is provided every day. The table is about continuous provision. And who provides that? Who provides the strength to follow him? Not me. Only him. You prepare a table. You prepare a table before me every day. And you know, we must turn up. You know how you're young, your mother will say to you, dinner's on the table. And then you just have another kick at the ball, you know. And then she says, dinner's on the table. Sometimes as Christians we're like that, you know. I'm too busy to come to the table, Lord. I'm too busy to come to where you will provide spiritual sustenance for me. I need to do this thing. I need to play with this thing. I need to do... Listen, he provides the table. We have to turn up. It's the only way. If we're too busy to come to the table to receive what he has prepared, we're too busy. It's a fatal problem, that. Very damaging. The table sustains me, although I am surrounded by my enemies. Christians live in a hostile environment. The world doesn't understand what we're talking about when we say, he is my shepherd. We exist in a hostile environment. But we can not only exist there and survive there, we can triumph there. Because he's prepared the sustenance in a continuing present way to make it possible. You anoint my head with oil. You show me great favor. You great privilege. You honor me. You pour your blessing on me. You anoint my head with oil. You make me welcome as a guest at your table. It's all in the continuous present. And see how personal it is. You anoint me. You prepare the table. This is all about him and me. And the result of it all, this is one of the fundamental evidences of the truth of it all. My cup is running over. Continuous present. I find such joy here, such peace here, such fulfillment here, such strength here, such comfort here, such a welcome here, such a companionship here, such a fellowship with God here, that my cup is running over. It's not only full, it's running over. And what is around me is going to be affected by it because of my joy and peace in him. Do we really know that? Assurance flows. I'm satisfied. I have the joy of the shepherd. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. In the valley, through the valley, out of the valley, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need to learn to live with the shepherd. Because we'll be living with the same shepherd in the house of the Lord. This is a golden psalm. And it's full of the glorious golden experience of knowing God in Christ. I just want to leave with you some of the threads that make up this wonderful psalm, and then we're through. Just let these little phrases rest in your mind. The Lord. The Lord is shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. There are green pastures, quiet waters, paths of righteousness. There's the darkest valley. Aye, but there's the house of the Lord. And there's the presence of the Lord. You are with me. Your rod, your club, your cudgel, and your staff, your crook, your guidance, they comfort me. They make me strong. And you prepare a table before me, and you anoint my head. And you do so in the presence of my enemies. It's my head, and it's my cup, and it's overflowing, and I shall not want. And I walk through the valley, and I will fear no evil, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's no more to say. Praise God.